Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Anything to shake, that's what I meant. My football team's got me drinking.
All right, back at it again with another episode of the Shades of Blue Soccer Show. Our first off-season one. Little sad. It kind of came a little late, but here we are. The off-season has begun. We're going to talk Gianluca Busio. Heavy Gianluca Busio tonight. We've got a couple other things to talk about. Gutierrez situation, Roger Espinoza situation, and there was the MLS re-entry draft today. So we got some stuff to get to, but how are you guys doing? It's been a minute since we joined here. What are you guys up to?
Doing well, but you know, part of me feels guilty. I get a little more excited about the offseason sometimes than the season. That is weird.
Well, in the past, I could see that because it didn't end well, and there was always hope that they were going to sign a striker. So yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, new players are always like, you know, Christmas presents kind of thing. Like, you just want to see, you know, like, ooh, somebody new. Okay, they're not going to be a star, but somebody new.
Amen.
We should start off, like, shout out. Finally, something good happened in 2020 that Seattle got embarrassed in MLS Cup. That was good.
That was a good game, though. That's the best MLS Cup game I've seen for a while.
Yeah, that was fun. It's good, you know, and the whole... It wasn't that long ago. Hashtag save the crew. So I mean, yeah, that it was good to see. I'm very happy for the crew.
And the last one at the stadium.
Yeah.
Right.
Were
right.
Any of you a little, I don't know if pissed off is the right word, but just seeing Namath there celebrating an MLS Cup and it's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, odd to see that, but
yeah. Whatever. Oh well.
not just him, but also Kempin.
Yeah, true that.
But that's okay.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for John.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not unhappy for Nemo, but yeah, it's not like he did a lot to accomplish it.
Doesn't feel right, anyway.
But. All right. Gianluca Busio. We had a new rumor today. I don't know how new it is, but we discovered a new rumor today that the 18-year-old starlet for Sporting Kansas City is in talks with, and the team, the three parties are in discussion with FC Barcelona.
So $4 million. Is $4 million enough? It doesn't sound like it is enough.
So that is actually, I'm glad you asked. That was actually going to be my first question here on this. I was under the impression remember someone had offered money for him and they turned it down. And I was thinking that number was like $7 million. And now I see this, that the number has apparently like gone down.
I remember there was like a six, but there, it could have been a seven.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It could have been euros versus dollars kind of situation too. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Something like around there. But so it is weird to me to see that has gone down.
Well, the problem is we never really know what's true. So, I mean, was a $6 million offer true, or was that what somebody at Sporting floated out there in order to set a benchmark? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And or this $4 million number might not be true. So
exactly. And there's also all kinds of conditions to it. Like, is it $4 million with we get to keep him for another year before he goes? Is it $4 million with a 50% sell on clause?
Right.
You know, those sort of things. Those are things that we don't really know when we hear these rumors, because most of the time people spreading the rumors don't actually know to ask those questions anyway.
Yeah, we don't even really know how much we paid for Polito, so.
Wait, did they release did they release that this year? No, they didn't. Salaries?
No.
That's so weird. I have not even thought of that until this exact moment.
Speak up, Bob.
But $4 million does not sound like enough to me. I mean, okay, Busio, his ceiling is pretty high, but $4 million doesn't seem like enough.
No, I would agree with that, I guess. But, you know, as your article stated, Robert Russert, he is in no rush.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's being very down to earth about it. And he definitely wants to go, as we all know. But, you know, I wrote part of it. I said, I think maybe he's feeling appreciated around here. He says he feels like he owes Sporting Kansas City. Since they developed him and been good to him. So who knows? He may be here another year or two. Who knows?
Okay, so would you like the cynical view of that?
Yes, I would.
If he sticks around for another year or so throughout his contract, then he can go wherever he wants, and there will be no qualifiers on who or how that takes place.
Unless we re-sign him, which could happen.
Which could happen, but...
Yeah.
If he wants to go and there's bidders out there and he waits and Sporting doesn't sell him for a year. Now, if they re-sign him, Sporting has actually had pretty good reputation for signing players and then when they wanted to go, letting them go.
Right.
You know, when it was a right deal for both sides, as long as they were still remotely contributing. I mean, you know, like they weren't a bad apple or something, which I don't think Busio would be. I think Busio would actually benefit from another year in MLS before going someplace else. But, you know, it would be hard to argue if somebody like Barcelona said, hey, come play for Barca B, because that's where he would go. He's not going to go be on the A team right now.
Sure.
So,
yeah,
it is only one more year until he can be gone and we get nothing for him like Eric Palmer Brown.
As Chad Smith put in one of his articles, when you're in the last 6 months of your contract, which if we renew his option for 2021, halfway through that season, somebody can sign him to a pre-contract, and then he'd be not ours anymore.
Well, we wouldn't have anything. We couldn't control it after that point.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's the way it is.
Yeah, I was pretty – annoyed at the end result of Eric Palmer Brown. I understand all the circumstances that it arose from, but it would hurt to see that happen again with Busio.
Well, the thing was with Brown was he didn't really play a whole lot when he was here anyway.
That is what hurt the most about that was that we saw him, like Eric Palmer Brown, this huge star that we had, homegrown guy. He played like 5 games ever. So that was annoying, but still, I don't really feel like Busio, we've gotten our, you know, what we need out of Busio yet. He's only really played a full season.
It's funny that you say huge star for Paulo Brown. That just makes me think,
Well, I know, but that's what I mean. Like it was at one point.
Right.
I should say he's doing fine. He's doing fine with Austria Wien.
He's doing good. Right. He's actually getting attention from the national team again.
Yeah.
From what I've heard.
So back to Busio. I mean, his versatility is so valuable right now, especially, and this goes into something we're going to talk about, what if we don't sign Gutierrez?
Yeah, we do need to have that discussion because that is scary. But
and Espinoza.
And Roger. Those are coming up here. But so are we anything else we need to cover with Busio? Have we forgotten anything? Well, it's not just Barcelona. It's Bayern Munich. German giants are also sniffing around. And Fiorente, is that who the other one was? There's a team in Italy that, at least that the tweet that was out coming around today included.
There's been multiple teams in Italy supposedly looking at him because of the Italian passport that makes it that much easier. But
I do think Fiorentina was at least one of those teams.
Of all the places for him to go, I would actually prefer him to go to either Germany or Spain, not Italy, for a couple of reasons. The style of play and the willingness for some of them to play younger players. But even if he goes to Germany, Bayern's not necessarily going to play him. They might loan him to another team for him to play. Teams like Dortmund, or, you know, they play youngsters all the time. I mean, they started a 16-year-old last game.
I know. See, that's what I think is weird about Germany. It's like, I would love for him to go to Germany if he was going to get time with Bayern, or if he was going to, like you said, Dortmund, or man, I don't know, Leipzig or Wolfsburg, or, you know, there's a hand, maybe a couple teams in that league. But outside of those, I'm not sure that, I think that the quality drops off after a certain point in the Bundesliga pretty hard. And I would worry about that, him just disappearing in an ocean of mediocrity in the Bundesliga.
Well, if he was playing, I wouldn't care about it as long as he's in the Bundesliga. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
If he's playing, because he's going to go up against big teams, the top 2, 3, 4, 5 teams, whatever I don't know how many actually are good there, but mm-hmm. I think it's something like 5 or 6 teams are pretty decent.
Right.
There's Bayern, and then there's a few teams, and then there's a bunch of crap.
Right.
And Spain has been like that too, but they've also that the top level has broadened again. I mean, kind of like England, it's the top level has broadened, and some of the top ones have fallen out. But I think Spain would be a nice fit for this style of play. But if he goes to Barcelona, he's probably not going to get any time with the first team. With their struggles right now, they are still way too talented and way too deep.
Right. I guess the thing, or how I see it, is that I have enough confidence in Barcelona B's, you know, just that him being in that organization, that he would, you know, still get the proper guidance that he would need.
You would hope, but they are, as a club right now, Barca is pretty much struggling with a lot of things, the coaching at the top level. I don't know who the Barca B coach is, quite honestly, but mm-hmm. the coach they brought in for the first team is not making anybody happy. So
switching around a little bit, I mean, if you're Peter Vermees, if you're Brian Bliss, aren't you looking at this and saying, okay, Gutierrez negotiations, Busquets are backup for him. Ilie, is he a starter still? Busquets are backup for him, or a replacement for him, or, you know. So Busquets is pretty important to supporting Kansas City right now.
Yes, he is, especially if the team does not iron out a couple other renegotiating tactics that they're working on right now. So
even if they do, I think he could be very, very, very important. We don't know how Goody is going to be when he comes back. If Rodgers, obviously not on the correct side of the hill at this point. So they still need a midfielder, even if they have those two.
Right.
Yes, they do. So let's take a break real quick, and then we'll come back and talk about those two contracts that are being renegotiated. We'll be right back. Sporting Kansas City is renegotiating with Felipe Gutierrez and Roger Espinoza, two fan favorites, two very important pieces. Let's start with Goody, because I'm scared about that one.
Okay, so I'm going to ask this question. Thad, maybe you have the answer, but, you know, with COVID, it was different. Was Gutierrez around the team, you know, hanging around, coming to games, or was he not?
Well, I never saw him at the games because I didn't go around in the tunnels or anything. I stayed outside as much as possible.
Right, right, yeah.
So I didn't really see that. But I will say that early in the year, he was out there when we still could go to the training. He was out there. And I'm pretty sure I saw him in the background. They would release some B-roll of training. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure I saw him in the background out there jogging around and doing stuff like that to do what he needed to do.
You guys are really good at – you both brought up points today that just give me the willies. Thad, you mentioned likening Busio to the Eric Palmer Brown situation. And now Bob is asking this about – if Goody is even with the team anymore, and they're both like very good points. It just kind of like freaks me out to even hear that discussion, because you're right. I don't recall, like Thad was saying, I do remember seeing him the first part of this season, this weird season, but you know, I don't recall seeing a whole lot of him at the games that I went to. So,
and yeah, but when you're in the press box,
it obviously doesn't mean anything necessarily, right. But it is,
and especially
both
this
asked
year.
Those questions, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah, especially this year. It's true. But when you're in the press box, you often see players that are not in the 18 or whatever, still walking around at the games. You know, they're there. But, you know, I was just curious. I hadn't seen him.
I'm pretty sure I saw on social media he was, like, training at the facility and stuff not okay. too long ago. Okay. I mean,
that's good.
Polito's out there, like, you know, every day putting stuff on social media, you know, massive thighs training kind of thing. But
he's
I'm pretty sure
thighs, man. That dude,
he does. I'm
like, not, I don't even blame him. Hike those shorts up, dude.
Yeah, I'm not usually impressed by men's thighs, but yes, they are incredible.
All right, so why is Sporting renegotiating? Cost?
Oh, Bob.
They're worried about his injury.
About men's thighs, I guess. Okay. renegotiating the cost. No, I, yeah. So that is a good point about Goody. Is that why they're doing this? Because he. They paid him X amount of money and he didn't play as much as we were thinking. And now they're not sure if he's going to be able to play as much as they want in the future.
I would say yes, because with the injury he had, it could be one of those long-term ones. It could be a Madranda one that never comes back from. Could be one that, okay, you know, it could be that he comes back fully fit and ready to start kicking ass in February, but we don't know that. And I'm sure they want to hedge their bets. They pick up the option. I'm sure it was probably a bump in pay or something from what he was getting before. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that they want to, like, hey, but who knows? Maybe they're fully in and they think he's a long-term guy and they're trying to negotiate him for a longer-term contract. Who knows?
Yeah.
And the ability to ask those questions is not there. So it worries me, though, but I do worry that he will not come back to what he was and they will need somebody to be that role.
But Thad, the idea of Polito and Gutierrez together is so compelling.
Oh,
we don't want
gosh.
That to happen.
Oh my gosh.
You know, the idea of Polito and Kevin Molino together would be appealing too. And if you have too many DPs signed, you can't sign another one. So
that's
I don't know.
True.
I look at it as I think about Polito with Russell and Busio outside of him and Felipe Gutierrez in that attacking mid. And then you got Gotti Kinda right behind that. Holy shit. That is a stacked attacking core. I'm sorry, but that is some fancy footed dudes. I am ready for that lineup right there.
And I think Gutierrez is actually going to help on the defensive end as well. I think he's a pretty smart guy in there. He's a defender tactically. He knows where to position himself, and he's a good tackler. So
and was
he'll help
deployed,
on that end too.
And was deployed as a defensive midfielder several times already.
Right. He was, yeah.
So it would be nice to have him in there. Again, I will say Sporting doesn't have an attacking midfielder ever.
Right.
But having him in there and Busio, who have both played a six within the last couple of years, would make him a very nice alternative to being able to come back and drop in and defend.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Roger Espinoza. Let's move on to Raj. Where are we at?
I mean, he's still a player. He still does good things.
I know. I'm quite confident in that one.
What do you mean you're confident in it?
That he will be back.
Okay.
I would put it as greater than 50-50, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Peter loves the guy. Yes. And I do, too. I mean.
And Roger likes it here. Roger likes his Westport loft.
He does.
And he's even more important, I think, in a sense, in the locker room with Beasler gone, you know. Busio mentioned that Beasler, he said, was the glue, but we've always heard from numerous people that Espinoza is the glue between everybody, and he's very important in the locker room.
Also, did I not hear that Roger's significant other, the professional player, that she is coming to the soon-to-be women's soccer team here? Is that...
If we would get into that sort of thing, yes. The one that he was dating at least for a long time. I don't know. I don't follow people's dating habits.
I think scanning Instagrams, I believe they are still together, or they were not too long ago. So
Yeah, and she would be part of the group that's returning with the NWSL team to Kansas City.
Yeah,
Yeah, and that worked out so well for Dom and his wife while she was here.
Yeah. Well, it worked out for them in Orlando, didn't it? They were on the same team in Orlando
for a while. But
but
anyway,
go ahead, Dad.
You know, you're saying about how people talk about Roger. I swear, every young guy that I've talked to on the team, I'd say, like, you know, has anybody taken you under your wing, under their wing, and, you know, showed you the ropes and, you know, who's helped mentor you and things like that? And every single one of them, regardless of the position they played, would say Roger Espinoza.
Yep.
He's the one that would, you know, go and if somebody was sitting by themselves, he would go sit down with them at lunch to make sure they were brought into the team. So he's that guy.
And I can fully see them keeping him on even after he retires as a player in some sort of role like that. I don't know what you would call it, but I can see them doing that. But
It would be great to see him as an assistant coach at some point, you
oh
know.
yeah,
I don't know if that's something he wants to do.
right.
That's what I was gonna say. He definitely would, you know, he's a motivator. He is a great locker room guy. He's got all that. But not that I know him very well, but I do just have, yeah, I'm not sure that that even would be something that he'd be into.
There's one thing I would like to see in it. You know, it's whether or not the team wants to spend this money in some way, shape, or form. But what was the Seattle guy? It was here, Brad Smith.
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 No,
When
Brad Evans.
Brad Evans, right? Yeah,
sorry.
And also Brad Davis. That confused me for a second too. Different team.
But when after he retired, he like traveled around for a while. But Seattle gave him a Sounders ambassador role, so he's part of the club and, you know, gets to go do stuff with fans and be that relationship and stuff like that. I think a Beisler or an Espinoza kind of, hopefully they at some point they can be in that role so they stay with the club after they're done playing. You know, Beisler will probably go play for Austin or someplace else, and you know, for another year or two or whatever. And then when he comes back to Kansas City, I hope they can have some kind of role for him like that.
So we all feel pretty good about Roger coming back. I meant to ask that about Gutierrez. Thad, you said better than 50-50 for Roger. Where are you at for Goody?
I'll say better than 50-50 for him too. Just
Okay, good. You just made me feel better.
not quite, not as high a level as confident.
Yeah, I don't know. I do have, there are people that'll probably scoff at this, but I have confidence in this front office, and it seems like if they want those two players back, then I feel like they're gonna get them back.
But going back to the first half of our pod with Busio, if they could sign him to a couple year deal or several year deal with the understanding that they would transfer him when he wanted to go, if they don't get that done, if they don't get Goody done, even if they do get Roger done, they still need midfielders. They need people to play. Gadi Kinda, yes, great. Felipe Hernandez, but they need people to challenge all of those spots and play that may, you know, maybe he was even better than them. So
Well, in the transfer window, isn't that what we focused on? We had rumors anyway, that they were looking at midfielders and guys that could also maybe play a left back too, but they were looking at midfielders mostly, it seemed.
yeah,
and
it did.
I imagine most people are looking for a center back as well, right?
Well, of course.
Two.
Two, three, four, five of them maybe.
Minimum of two.
But so okay, yeah. So let's. I don't want to get too far into that. We will. It's in the plans to do an actual season review, season wrap up podcast. We'll talk about favorite moments, what we need in the off season, et cetera, et cetera. But we'll do that one later. Let's we a couple more bits to get to here. Today was the expansion draft. Nope, sorry, not expansion draft. MLS re-entry draft.
There's
And
so many of them.
Sporting
Phase one,
KC.
phase one.
Yeah, the first phase. And Sporting KC did actually make a selection, 26-year-old keeper Kendall McIntosh. And you see the reaction of my co-host there on how important of a signing that was.
Well, with Pulskamp gone, we needed somebody, right?
No. Pulskamp's still here.
No, who did I mean?
Sanchez.
Sanchez.
Oh, that's right. Sanchez. Sorry, my fault.
Dick the Stash Sanchez. No, I like that guy, but I don't think he was the greatest keeper in the world. He wasn't as bad as what we maybe thought he was, but he was. It's just guys that they're going to bring in to be backups and fill in for a game or two off the bench when if Tim gets hurt, sort of thing. I think Pulskamp is more of the keeper of the future, unless somebody proves me wrong at some point. And they got
Sanchez kind of got thrown in the ring of fire there, didn't he?
Yeah, and Pulskamp probably is a better keeper long term than Sanchez, and they have a couple of keepers at Swope Park and in the academy that could be better also. So it'd be, I think they're just, you know, rotating backup guys, but this is like the fourth time they've taken a keeper in the reentry draft. Alec Kahn, Dykstra, Sanchez, and now what's this guy's name again?
McIntosh.
He most of his games have been with Portland Timbers too. Otherwise, I think he had like an Open Cup game for Portland or New York. I've seen him play because I saw him play against Swope Park, and I remember him. I went back and found some photos, so I kind of triggered a memory. But he wasn't bad. He wasn't like, you know, super stud, but he wasn't bad. So.
Okay, you guys got any other final thoughts here?
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where Beisler ends up. I don't know if we'll pick up any free agents, but that all started today or yesterday, I think.
It has begun.
Well, yeah. Should they even go for a free agent out of MLS?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think that's a really big question. The free agents out of MLS have not been the most entertainingly successful players for Sporting.
Well, it is a bigger pool now than it used to be.
It is. Yeah. Bigger pool and
bigger every year.
Not as old.
Right.
But yeah, it's not been the best success so far for that.
All right. Well, good to be back with you gentlemen. Well, let's do this. Well, everyone come up with some good ideas for your favorite moments of this season, and we'll give the people a season review pod, all right?
Sounds good, and maybe we'll have more news to talk about next time.
Yes, by then maybe some action will have happened.
Dun, dun, dun.
By the way, did you see that Austin FC just paid $1.25 million for Alex Ring?
I did. That's where I thought Beisler might be going to.
Right.
Yep, they don't have to pay for him, though.
Yeah.
Is Ring worth that?
According to Claudio Reyna, he is. He's the one who signed him originally from Kaiserslautern. So.
That, are you saying you know more than Claudio Reyna?
No, I just asked your opinion if he was worth that.
All right, guys. Like I said, we'll be back with a season wrap-up pod for you. But in the meantime, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Blue Testament KC, and join us at theBlueTestament.com. Check out Robert's recent article on Gianluca Busio, an original interview. Look at us. Look at us, journalism. Look at that. All right. we'll talk soon. Go Sport Night!
The other side don't seem so tough. And three on goal. Skipper has just been sent off. Supporters strong have all gone soft. Like Fuddpatings got me drinking. Like Fuddpatings got me drinking. Like Fuddpatings got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this foot I'm in. Like Fuddpatings got me drinking. Like Fuddpatings got me drinking. My foot, Tim's got me drinking.